Going through a separation or divorce can be tough. Tough on you and tough on your kids. But there is a better way to separate and divorce, keeping you and your kids far away from the cost of stressful litigation. My name is Vala Heminger, and welcome to the Better Divorce Podcast, where you will discover how to get rid of the drama, reduce turmoil, and reach your goal of peaceful resolution for you and your changing family. In this video, I'm going to share with you 9 top qualities of a high net worth divorce lawyer. And I'm also going to share with you 3 things that a high net worth divorce lawyer is not. So, if you are going through a divorce or separation, the thing to remember is, well, not all lawyers are the same. Not all of them have the same experience. In fact, not all family lawyers or divorce lawyers have the same experience, the same interests, or the same level of expertise and skill. So if you're going through a divorce or separation and you see yourself as a high net worth individual, you will want to consider making sure you hire a lawyer that has experience with high net worth cases. If you live in a community, state, or province, or country, well, you will want to ensure that your assets that have accumulated during the course of your relationship are equally divided. In British Columbia, if you have a high net worth divorce lawyer, what you want to make sure is that they are well versed in the law. And what constitutes family law in British Columbia? Well, it constitutes 2 things, or it's made up of 2 things. Number one, it's made up of the legislation. We've got the Divorce Act, we've got the Family Law Act, some other acts that might actually apply to your case. As well, we've got the common law. Now, what is the common law? Well, the common law is what judges say about the legislation, how the courts have interpreted the legislation. Very important. So even if your lawyer knows the legislation inside out and backwards, they also have to pay attention and update themselves continually about what the courts are saying in the common law. Because the crazy thing, and it's kind of cool, is that if one judge says something in a way that interprets the legislation, let's say, for example, in family law, let's talk about excluded property. Excluded property is what someone brings into the relationship, their pre-owned asset. Well, if you take that pre-owned asset, let's say it was the equity from a previous property you sold, and you put it into a joint property, well, did you actually give half of your excluded asset to your spouse? Right now, as I record this video, the law is going all over the place in that one. And I think that the lawyers and judges and other professionals, arbitrators, collaborative law professionals, everybody seems to be at this point pretty confused about where the law is going in relation to that, which is why it is so important to pay attention to what common law judges have to say. If you hire a high net worth divorce lawyer, you want to make sure that they have extensive experience or access to extensive experience. What do I mean by that? Well, if someone has just graduated from law school, they've done their articles and they've thrown up their own shingle and they're working all by themselves, maybe they don't have the extensive experience required to understand how your high net worth should be approached. Maybe your lawyer doesn't have experience reading financial statements, for example, or maybe they don't understand how various assets can be held and the difference between corporately held assets, personally held assets, and all of that. Now, maybe you are hiring a high net worth lawyer and maybe they don't have tons of years of experience, but they work in a firm where the other lawyers in the firm have tons of experience and they have access to be able to discuss your matter. So that can also be a really good idea. The thing is that if you consider yourself a high net worth individual, you want to make sure you hire a lawyer who has extensive experience or access to that experience in high net worth family law matters. The second quality that you want with a high net worth divorce lawyer is you want them to have experience and an understanding of complex financial matters. You want them to make sure that they understand the difference between, like I said, corporate held assets, personal assets. Also, that when assets are sold or realized, the tax considerations implicated with that sale, for example, capital gains. And even if you're someone who has luxury vehicles and is anticipating on purchasing more luxury vehicles, how the tax implications, the luxury tax, for example, is implicated in your purchase. For example, right now, my firm, Pathway Legal, here in British Columbia, we have a case that, you know, the parties are fairly high net worth. And I would say, ultra high net worth, high net worth. And one of the parties has a corporately held asset. And that corporately held asset that is worth, I'll say, $12 million, we want to put the $12 million on that party's side of the ledger when they're dividing their assets. However, that $12 million asset is corporately held. So what that means is when they go to sell that asset, they're not going to be able to put the $12 million right into their jeans. They are going to have to be dealing with the corporate tax implications. And so in this particular case, it's a battle of the experts. The other lawyer and me, we are having a dispute about the tax treatment. And so it's very important that, because I anticipate my client wants to keep that particular high net worth asset, I want to make sure that they are not being unfairly penalized with respect to the tax treatment. At the end of the day, for example, the advice I received is that if that property were to be sold and the tax applied, that $12 million asset is actually worth more like $5 million. So that's a big spread. And that's why you want to make sure, if you see yourself as a high net worth person, that you hire a lawyer that has the experience with high net worth families, but as well understands the complex financial matters that may be relevant to your circumstances. Of course, everybody is unique. Every family is unique. And again, you want to make sure your lawyer will understand that. The third thing you want your high net worth divorce lawyer, well, the quality you want them to have is you want to make sure that they understand legal procedures and that they know what to do if there is an impasse in your negotiations. What we find at Pathway Legal is if we represent somebody and we want to be able to represent them well and have them really happy with our services, we always want to make sure that we are heading to some kind of process that's going to see your matter resolved. The point is this: going through a separation and divorce can be hard enough. You don't need the additional stress of being involved in protracted litigation unnecessarily. So if you are interviewing a person, a lawyer who may end up being your high net worth divorce lawyer, one of the questions you're going to ask them is, in my case, if there is an impasse, if we aren't getting anywhere in our negotiations, what do you plan to do? What will you do in order to continue the process moving so I can get my matter resolved? The point being is that we find at Pathway Legal, if you have set some kind of a process, whether that be a four-way meeting, whether that be a mediation, arbitration, or even a trial, when we do that, we find that matters get resolved more effectively and more efficiently as opposed to lawyers writing letters back and forth in negotiations. Now, sure, nothing wrong with starting from that place. Absolutely. After you've done your financial disclosure, sure, maybe your lawyer might write an offer to the other side or they write an offer to you and you respond to it and you get the deal done. Great. Wonderful idea. However, if you find that your lawyers are going back and forth and back and forth and not really moving you towards conclusion, well, we have a rule at my office at Pathway Legal. We say basically, if it's gone back and forth, like back and forth two, three, four letters, time to make sure we're going to mediation, arbitration, or something to get this matter resolved. Make sure that your high net worth divorce lawyer knows how to deal with an impasse. The fourth quality, if you are looking for a high net worth divorce lawyer, is you want to understand and interview them about what they expect for client communication. So, for example, do they send you automatically every single piece of correspondence on your matter? Well, if they don't, run. You want to make sure that you are kept apprised of absolutely everything that's going on with respect to your matter. You want your lawyer to be very transparent. And I suggest you even want to go deeper than that. See, because you're now going through a separation or divorce, you want to see your matter concluded, don't you? Well, at my law firm, Pathway Legal in British Columbia, what we do is we tell our clients right from the start, we are in this together. In order for us to work with you, we want you to agree. You have to agree to allow us to do most of our work with you present. And when I say with you present, that can be on video conferencing, it could be on the phone, it could be in person in our beautiful offices. And the thing is that if parties are not wanting to do that, if they want to just send us an email and say, go do this and give us instructions that way, we're not the kind of lawyer for that person. Because, well, selfishly, when we do work with our clients present, what that does is it increases our clients' trust in us. They know that their family matter is moving forward to conclusion. They know that we as their lawyers understand their circumstances. They know that we get their financial picture. The point is there's a right way and a wrong way to communicate with clients. The right way is that we continue to guide you, essentially take you by the hand and walk you through the entire legal process together, you and your lawyer. The wrong way to do it is we take instructions, hopefully remember them, take down some notes, eventually write a letter or a proposal or draft an agreement, send it out to you for your review. The lawyer will have gotten some details wrong. You'll be wondering why they put together something that isn't so great compared to if you were with them and you were had it up on a screen and were drafting together. Then you end up getting a bill and you don't know what you got your bill for. So that's the wrong way. What you want to do is ensure that when, for example, your lawyer is billing you, that you think, yeah, I know they spent that time on my file because I was there with them. And the other time that their staff may have spent, or the times I wasn't there, it just seems reasonable that those events happen. I know those things happen, and my lawyer isn't gouging me for fees. So what happens for people is you want to make sure that your lawyer is in complete communication with you, that they have a system of doing that, and they are working with you hand in hand. You're working with them hand in hand to bring your matter closer to conclusion, to see it fully resolved. Another thing that you want from your high net worth divorce lawyer is you want to ensure that they are able to keep their own emotions in check. Now, the thing is, as lawyers, we're human too, and we all get triggered, particularly in family law matters, because, well, the whole process, everything about family law can be very intense. However, if your family law lawyer, high net worth divorce lawyer or not, if they are unable to manage their emotions or their behavior, you don't want them as your lawyer. And let me give you an example of this. I have a case against a lawyer in my city right now. I'll call him Derisive Dean. So there was an issue of family violence in this with respect to this family. Derisive Dean's client, the abuser, wants to have unfettered access to the party's child. However, the child's mother has some concerns about the father because of his previous behavior. Now, the father has done a lot of work. He has done anger management training. He has attended programs. He has learned to meditate. He's doing all kinds of things that will allow him to show up as a better father for his child. So that seems like really great news, doesn't it? However, the lawyer on this particular file, Derisive Dean, is combative, rude, and is always making court applications about things that weren't even necessary or that aren't necessary. The point being is that the mom of this child is thinking, okay, this child is entitled to have a relationship with their father. I think that's a good thing. I've seen real progress here, and I think it's going to be in my child's best interest our child's best interest to have a relationship with their dad. I just want to be able to move forward carefully and ensure that my child doesn't get abused, because the family violence piece was intense at one point. So rather than working with the mother, rather than working with me, the other lawyer is very rude, very hostile, like I said. So this all culminated a few weeks ago at the courthouse. The lawyer made an application to the judge. The judge said, "I don't get it. Why are we even here?" I stated for the record, "We are here because my client genuinely wants to work with the other party to move this matter forward. And the other party, or his lawyer, will not get back to us with respect to our proposals. We don't know what's wrong with our proposals. We have no response to our proposals, but we would really like, because we put forward a proposal that would connect the dad with the child. But the other lawyer's not responding." So the judge was confused, set a hearing on a very limited matter that's not going to bring these parties closer to resolution. So when we left the courtroom, I called up the hallway and said, "Hey, excuse me, do you want to talk to me about this?" And the lawyer, this actually happened, gave me one of these from way up the hallway, in front of his client, in front of court staff, in front of other parties. Point being, Derisive Dean wasn't acting in a way that kept his emotions in check. In fact, I wrote him this email: "Your communication remains hostile and combative. It may be personal to me for some reason, or if you are under the belief that you are advocating for your client. Either way, your manner towards me and this situation must change. I invite your apology," hence giving me the finger. "Your aggressive behavior is unnecessary and remains unhelpful to this family. Why do you not see that? This is about a young child entitled to positive relationships with the adults in their life. The relationship between the lawyers is thwarting that opportunity rather than creating it and making it possible." I went on to say, and I realize this is a lecture, and I'm wanting this lawyer to understand, Derisive Dean, that he's not helping. He's not only not helping my client or the child, he's not helping his client. I said, "As lawyers who work within the family law context, it is our duty to maintain respectful communication. This is for the benefit of our respective clients and their children in particular. What can we do to move forward and get out of the way of having these clients resolve this matter on an amicable and respectful basis? I've given you numerous proposals to resolve matters and you have yet to respond. This is all occurring within the background of family violence." And I went on. I said, "How can we put this situation right? How can we move forward for this family?" Derisive Dean responded with, "Quit whining and send me a copy of your affidavit." An affidavit I'd already sent. The point being, Derisive Dean is not moving forward. So going back to your context, if you see yourself as a high net worth individual, and I realize that was in the context of a parenting matter, but if you see yourself in as a person with high net worth, you want to make sure that your lawyer can keep their emotions in check and can move forward with your matter regardless of what's going on for them. A sixth top quality of a high net worth divorce lawyer is, guess what? They will have good relationships, not only with you, their client, but with their support team, with other lawyers, with judges, with parenting experts, with financial experts, with your accountant. You want to make sure that your lawyer gets along with people. Now, maybe they're not going to get along with everybody. However, you want to make sure that they have a reputation that more or less means that they are able to resolve matters, able to communicate well with fact finders, with decision makers, or in the context of your family matter. The seventh thing that you want to make sure your high net worth divorce lawyer has is a support team. What do I mean by that? Well, do they have other lawyers on their team that can assist with your matter? Do they have competent legal staff, a legal assistant, a paralegal perhaps? I'm thinking about this case I had last year, and the parties were high net worth. And the lawyer on the other side, well, they were a one-person show, a one-man show, as it was. So the point being is because there were so many financial documents, a document flurry, literally, of financial statements and bank statements and investment accounts and properties and corporate assets, well, this lawyer, although a very good lawyer, a very effective lawyer, a very reasonable lawyer, a lawyer who does their research that I have a ton of respect for, well, they were not able to keep up with the sheer amount of documentation associated with this matter because they didn't have a support team. So you don't want your lawyer to be caught up in that problem, which is why you want to make sure that your lawyer has a competent support team. That is, competent staff, other lawyers, legal assistant, paralegal, someone who can help your lawyer move your matter closer to conclusion. The eighth thing you want to make sure is that your high net worth lawyer is well organized. So, for example, when you are consulting with them, considering hiring them, and you go to their office, for example, if there are papers scattered everywhere and file folders with papers sticking out and everything's kind of messy, well, you should run, because that is not someone who's going to be able to handle your case effectively. When their team or you are doing an intake with them, as in you've reached out to them thinking, okay, I'm a high net worth person, I'm going to need some help with this kind of lawyer. Well, if that intake process from the time you reach out to the firm to you meeting with them, if that process goes smoothly, that's going to tell you a lot about their organizational skills. It's going to tell you a lot about how they approach your cases. If the intake process itself was scattered and people didn't know, you know, that you were coming and you weren't sent information to fill out in advance of the appointment and, you know, all kinds of problems and it was just very scattered and frenetic, well, that might not be the high net worth divorce lawyer that you want for your case. Being organized is one of the most important things a lawyer has to be in order to ensure that you are adequately represented. Finally, the big thing that you want your high net worth divorce lawyer to have is strong negotiation skills. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it's not necessarily what you might think. So we've all seen the TV programs where the witness is on the stand and the lawyer's cross-examining them and they're eviscerating them and the witness is like, sure, I did it, okay, and they're in tears and they fall apart. Well, that's not necessarily what I mean by strong negotiation skills. What I mean is you want to make sure that your lawyer has additional training in dispute resolution. The best advocates have interest-based training, they have mediation training, they have really in-depth training that allows them to focus on resolving your matter, but also taking the time to get curious about the other side's position and what's informing them. So what ends up happening for you is that your lawyer has a much less likely chance of getting into a tug of war with the other lawyer, but onto the resolving of matters. Because sometimes people might have a position that seems very unreasonable, and yet when you get in behind why they have that position, well, at the end of the day, it might seem like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And you're off to the races, getting your matter resolved, getting it concluded. Now, let's talk about what a high net worth divorce lawyer is not. And what I mean is a good high net worth divorce lawyer is not. If you have a good high net worth divorce lawyer, they will not be anybody's puppet. And what do I mean by that? Well, the thing is that the law, certainly the law in British Columbia, is, well, sometimes it's very clear on certain issues. For example, on the division of property and how your net worth during the course of your relationship is going to be divided equally. Now, sometimes people don't want to hear that. And the thing is that, well, as your lawyer, what we are obligated to do and is in your interest to say, look, I get that you don't want to have to divide those assets. And at the same time, you are obligated to. So it doesn't make sense that we go to protracted litigation to fight a battle that you're going to lose. If your lawyer is worth their salt, they are going to tell you the bad news as well as the good news. So I'm thinking about a case that I have had in the recent past. High net worth case, and the lawyer on the other side, I'll call him Testy Tony. You may have heard me talk about him before, but Testy Tony, well, he is simply just parroting what his client is telling him. So the other client is very high conflict, and Testy Tony is now also very high conflict. Testy Tony isn't moving the matter towards resolution. Instead, Testy Tony is not responding to offers, not making offers, not doing anything to move the case forward other than showing up to argue about why his client is right about all the things that happened during the course of their relationship, not even relevant for the dividing of the assets. And, well, it looks to me like Testy Tony is his client's puppet. So make sure that your divorce lawyer tells you the good news as well as the bad. And it doesn't mean sometimes that you and your divorce lawyer are always going to agree on everything. Sometimes you have to have a discussion and say why you want to move forward in a certain direction. And maybe your lawyer can be convinced of that and go, yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense for those reasons. Point being, your divorce lawyer shouldn't be your puppet, but should be following the law and in a way that gets you to concluding your matter in the fairest, most beneficial way possible for you. The second thing is, of course, I've already touched on this, is they're not going to tell you what you want to hear. They're going to tell you what the actual law is. Recently, we had a case at Pathway Legal where, well, there was a contract and our client was to pay a certain amount of interest on a debt. Our client didn't want to pay that interest anymore. Well, too bad, you have a contract and it says that you're to pay a certain amount of interest. And if you take this to court because you don't want to pay the interest anymore and you regret entering into the agreement, isn't going to get you out of your obligation. This client said to us, well, wait, I thought you were supposed to be my lawyer in this. And I said, yeah, absolutely. Being your lawyer includes me telling you the good news and the bad news. Us going to court to fight a losing battle, all that's going to do is increase the stress and increase the money that you have to spend on me to fight a losing battle. So it's actually in better service to you that we tell you the truth about how we think this is going to pan out. Finally, and I've saved this one for last because I think it's really important. Just because you have high net worth and just because you have a high net worth divorce lawyer does not mean that your lawyer should charge you excessive legal fees. You want to be sure that your lawyer is charging you fairly based upon their experience, based upon the work they do, based upon moving your case closer to conclusion. Now, when a matter is high conflict, well, your lawyer is probably going to spend more time than if the matter was not high conflict. High conflict cases tend to cost more in legal fees. At the same time, you want to be sure that your lawyer is clear about their billing practices, has a clear retainer agreement, is transparent about their billing processes, and is willing and open to answering any questions that you have about their accounts. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that the bills you are getting are correct. Sometimes there could be a mistake, and if your lawyer gets explosive or highly defensive because you ask a question about their account, well, maybe that's not the right lawyer for you. You want to make sure that your lawyer wants to stand behind their work, but also not gouge you unfairly just because you might have higher net worth than another one of their clients. This is Val, and that's my story about high net worth divorce lawyers.
Did you like what you heard here? Great. Discover more at thebetterdivorceproject.com. And if you want to stay in closer touch, join our newsletter there. You will get tons of helpful tips, strategies, and information to assist you in navigating the legal process while reducing the drama of your separation and divorce.